A visitor came to church and it was their first time there, and one of the door greeters noticed them, this kind of elderly woman, and went to look after them, said hello, and gave them a hymn book, and you know, in the spirit of just wanting to make them comfortable, said to the woman, "Look, don't sit too close to the front. Our officer isn't very good. Their sermons are a bit boring, so you might want to nod off to sleep. So just sit a little bit further back." The woman said, "Do you know who I am?" And the greeter said, "No, I don't." And the woman said, "I'm the officer's mother." The greeter said to the woman, "Do you know who I am?" And she said, "No." And he said, "Good." See, that didn't happen this morning. That didn't happen this morning. Kofi's been waiting for that all weekend. Good job, Kofi. Well, for people to know your name's a good thing. It's good to be known. It helps us feel like we belong, I think. In fact, I spent a day in hospital to get this wrist repaired. And I was watching daytime TV, and it's not that great. And Cheers came on. Do you remember that show, Cheers? Some of you would have watched it. Where everybody knows your name, all right? That was part of the deal with Cheers. And, you know, as the show went on and, you know, the characters would walk in and they'd be greeted by name. It's part of knowing that we belong. And, in fact, as human beings, we're actually designed to belong. It meets a deep need in us, an intrinsic need in us to belong to a family, to belong to a clan, to identify with others. Sociologist Ray Oldenburg said several decades ago now that as human beings, what we need is a third place. And in fact, we seek out what he would call a third place. And it's become kind of part of the accepted law of community building. And he said, we all have a first place, which is where we live, right? And that's the first physical place where we go to, where we sleep and eat. We have a home. For most of us, our second place is where we work or we study. So it's at school or a workplace or university. And that's the second place. But he said, what we seek out is a third place. And a third place is where community is built. And he said, third places have several characteristics. And among them is this idea that they are neutral. You don't have to be in a third place, right? There's no pressure on you in a third place. They are level places. Everybody is treated equally. There's no disproportionate power in third places. They'll feel like a home away from home. And in fact, there'll be regulars as well who'll set the tone of the place and actually create the atmosphere that we seek. And so churches, of course, are third places, and lots of places can be third places. And if you think about your friends in the wider community, for many people it might be a football club or a bowling club, it might be a car club, it can be a barber shop, it can be all sorts of places where people meet in this third place, this level place. And we know what it feels like to belong, I think. I'm not describing something to you that you've never experienced before. You know what it feels like to belong. You know what it feels like when the things that make us welcome aren't there. I think what it takes for us to feel like we belong is really kind of unconditional love and acceptance and welcome. That's what makes us feel like we belong. This is my place. I belong here. Now, of course, as Christians, we would believe that our ultimate belonging is as God's people. We would feel this spiritual connection, this deep connection to other Christians. You've had that experience, haven't you? When you encounter someone and you discover they're a Christian, or you encounter someone and you feel a connection and then you discover they're a Christian, you think, I thought so. So many years ago, Sharon and I were backpacking around Northern Europe, had some adventures up in Scandinavia, and this is in the late 80s, and we caught a bus down the coast of Norway and we ended up in a place called Bergen, and we were getting a ferry from there across to Newcastle in the UK. But we hadn't worked out how expensive it was. Sharon had me on a very, very strict budget. I think I lost 4 or 5 kilos on that particular six-week venture. We walked past thousands of bakeries and never once went in. It was an extraordinary achievement on her part, the way she bullied me. And so we arrived at Bergen, and we'd run out of money, and we had to kind of choose between either accommodation or food, and the food was very expensive. So we did what all good Salvationists would do, of course. We went to the Salvos, and we knocked on the door of Bergen 1 and asked if they could help us, and they were very kind to us, and they let us sleep in the songster room for 3 days while we waited for our ferry, and we had our own sleeping bags and so forth. And they looked after us, they took us home for some meals, and they found a cornet for me, and I went and played a band practice, and they were lovely. It was just great. And we felt this deep connection, and not just because they were hospitable, not just because they were made welcome, but these were fellow Christians, and what's more, they were fellow Salvationists. We felt part of their clan. We felt like we belonged. And that's what Paul has been talking about in his letter to the Ephesians that Kofi read to us earlier today. If you watched the service last week, you'll know that we talked about reconciliation. This idea that God in Christ has reconciled the world in two ways. He's reconciled people to each other. So what we might call a horizontal reconciliation. That person to person, this divide of suspicion and hostility that's between Jew and Gentile is broken down. And so people are reconciled to each other. But we're also reconciled vertically, reconciled to God. And this all takes place because of the work of Christ, the work of Jesus. And this passage reads beautifully in the message, the one we read from. And it says, you are no longer strangers. You belong here. And it was an important idea for this new church. They were new Christians, right? These are first generation Christians. Nobody had ever done it before. They were making it up as they went along. And Paul says to them, you are no longer strangers. You belong here. Why? Because of Jesus. Jesus has made this a level place. We all meet at the cross. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And so we are spiritually connected. We know this same love. We know that we're part of this same story. Now, how do we know this? It's not quite so obvious in the Message translation. On the way through, you will have noticed that Paul talks about the apostles and the prophets. And the order of those words makes us think that he's talking about the first century prophets, the people who talked about and explained the word of God, the message of the gospel. Those people who first took the story of Jesus' life and death and resurrection to the world. This story of redeeming, all-encompassing love. It was a story of mercy. It was a story of hope. A story we tell and remember. The story we tell and remember and sing and believe. It's what we actually do in worship. We sing this story to each other. I love that arrangement that we sang before of Crown Him with Many Crowns. I could sing it every Sunday. And it would move me still, I think. I'm not a very demonstrative fellow, but when we get to that good bit in the middle, you know, where it goes, forevermore, all hail, Redeemer, hail, I just have to raise my arms in worship. If I didn't raise my arms, I think I'd have to fall to my knees. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. That's my story, you see. It's your story. It's the story of the gospel. It's a story that binds us together. It's the glue, it's the mortar that creates community, that creates a people. It's this extraordinary idea that God knows us and loves us and makes us his own. And he's also making us his own for a purpose. You see, as God's people, we are his dwelling place. So there's three metaphors in this passage of scripture that Paul uses. The first one is the metaphor of the kingdom. He says, you are citizens, right? You're no longer aliens. You are citizens. And then he says, you're members of the household, part of the family. And then the third one he talks about is he says that you are the temple, the dwelling place of God. So citizens, members of the household, and then the building itself. And then he says you are part of the building. You are being built into the temple of God. Verse 22, it says, in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Well, there's a thought. You are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We become and are becoming more and more the dwelling place of God, his people, his temple. And that meant something to those people living in Ephesus. See, in Ephesus is one of the seven ancient wonders of the ancient world. And it was this massive temple with a massive statue in it of the goddess Artemis, or Diana, she was in the Roman pantheon, the huntress. And in fact, Ephesus was a centre for the worship of the cult of Artemis, and it drove the economy, it drove the city. And so Paul says to these people, you, in a spiritual way, are being built together to be the temple. I know that you can see that thing, that you can see that statue of this goddess, but you are part of the living God. He's making you part of his temple. He will dwell in you. Now, we know those Old Testament stories, don't we? The story of the tabernacle, right, where the Ark of the Covenant was, or the Holy of the Holies in the temple in Jerusalem, where God would make himself manifest, the Shekinah, it's called, the glory of the Lord, the palpable presence of God, so God's people would know that he was their God, that he was real. And Paul says, that's what God is doing in you, his people. He's building the church. And this is true of the church universal, right? This is true for every Christian, but it's true of every individual church. It's true of a church like Ephesus in the first century. It's true for us in the 21st century, that God is making us into his dwelling place by his Spirit. And that's Paul's message. He wants this church in Ephesus to know. He says, we are no longer strangers, but the kingdom that God rules, the family which he loves, and the temple in which God dwells. And it wasn't just Paul's idea. You might remember those words from the book of Revelation in chapter 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. This idea that as the people of God, we are the dwelling place for God. This idea of coming home, coming to the place where we belong, it matters. It's part of the Christian story. It is the Christian story. In recent days, in the last few weeks, there's this song by a Christian group called Mercy Me, and I haven't been able to get it out of my mind. And the song is called Almost Home, and you'll see why that might be appropriate. And in fact, the words say, almost home, brother, it won't be long, soon all your burdens will be gone. It's been a bit of a theme for me in recent weeks. And I was feeling that on Friday night. We've been waiting for this interim occupancy certificate, you see. And we were told it had come through, you know, some time ago, and then it was going to be early last week, and then they said Friday, so we set the deadline. 4 o'clock Friday, we'll make the decision whether or not our openings, these meetings go ahead. All right, 4 o'clock, that's definitely it. And then we've got a call from our project manager. There's still two issues to resolve. There's some penetrations from the basement into the tenancies. We haven't got certification from the engineer on those. And so we just need to go back to the builders. The contractor can't supply it. It's 4:30. It said, we'll let you know by 5:30. By 5:30, they said it should only be another hour. By 6:30, they said the certifier's working on it. You hope to hear by 7:30. Got to 7:40, 7:45. And because we were sitting here, Anthony and Sarah were sitting here with two emails ready to go. One that said, sorry, it's all been called off. And the other one that said, yes, it's all on. And so I picked up my phone, ready to call Oliver, our project manager. And he called me and he said, we've got it. We've got the occupation certificate, which was a vast relief. That's why you all got an email. That's why you're here today. You've probably worked that out. This idea of coming home, of completion, of arriving, it matters. And really, it's deeper than just a story of a building and a building project. It's deeper and bigger than that. This idea that we are home and almost home. This idea of we're having arrived here, but still part of this journey with God. We belong, but we will belong more and more. That God himself is with us, and he's building us more and more into his people, making us more and more like him. You belong here because your God dwells here, and his story is your story too. And don't doubt that you belong here. Each of us does in this level place, where God dwells. One of the greatest movies of all time is Toy Story 2. And we don't need to discuss that. I know you'd agree with me. It's like pineapple on pizza. It's just a given, isn't it? And in Toy Story 2, there's this character called Jessie, and she's a little doll, a cowgirl doll, and she's been abandoned by her owner. And she tells that story. She actually sings a song about it. And she sings, "When somebody loved me, everything was beautiful." And she sings about her loss when she realised that her owner, the child who had grown up, didn't want her anymore. And she knew that this, to belong, to feel that you're wanted, was connected, deeply connected to being loved. In fact, our sense of belonging actually depends on how much I feel loved, how much you feel loved. See, God's love has never shifted. It doesn't fail. His love is poured out towards us. But it's true, sometimes we don't feel loved by God. Sometimes we feel that he's abandoned us. Sometimes we feel that we have abandoned him. God's love is limitless. And yet sometimes we feel, I'm not worthy, or I'm not good enough, or there's something I've done that's stopping me from belonging. And it's not true. It's not true. God is making us his own at the deepest level. All that needs to happen for you and I to belong is to accept God's love, to trust his love, to take it into ourselves. You belong here because your God dwells here, and his story is your story too. I'm going to invite our musicians back to the platform. I'm going to sing a beautiful song, a song about the God who knows us. And while I sing, here's an opportunity to pray. And you might like to come and pray. Last night, I knelt at this mercy seat. It's the mercy seat from 34 Smith Street that we've reinvented here, the holiness table from Granville. Let this be your first prayer here in this place. Respond to God. You can stay where you are, of course. You can kneel where you are. You can come and stand. Allow God to speak to you in this moment, the God who loves you, the God who says to you clearly today, that you belong here. Let's worship together and pray.